Good morning. Welcome to the gathering of Recreate Church. It is a beautiful, sunny day in January. I have Billy out here braving the winter cold with me, and I have you guys here to be a part of this. I am so thankful. You know, we're kind of spread out here, and you don't always see who's here when we do church, drive-in church. We have folks spread out across the parking lot, over in Food Lion and Family Dollar, and I see you back there. I'm so glad to see you. Some of you I don't get to get over and talk to. Some of you are here, and I don't even know you're here. One of the most wonderful things is when I find out later that somebody was a part of services, and I didn't even get to see them, but they're like, hey, I'm so glad we could be there on Sunday. Were you there? Yes, I was there. Be cool when we get to go back inside, but for now, I'm so glad to see each and every one of you. You know, before we get too deep in it, I got to share something that's been on my heart, a burden that's been on my heart for a while now. You know, I look around our community and our fellowship. I look around, you know, my family, and I see the effects that isolation is having on all of us. This global pandemic has meant we can't be together and do a lot of the things that we would normally do. It's put limitations on all sorts of activities, and you know, we could talk whether those limitations are necessary or not. That's not what I want to say today. I'm just saying I can see the toll that it is taking. You know, I think of my kids who are doing the virtual learning through the public schools, and it's been tough on them because they don't really get to be in the same space as their friends. They can interact through the classrooms online and all that. It takes a toll on us, doesn't it? And I am, in my heart of hearts, an introvert, okay? That might surprise you because I'm the guy up here holding the mic, but that's who I really am deep down. I don't have to have a ton of human interaction to be happy, but man, even I'm feeling it. I am feeling the length of this pandemic and how it's prevented me from, you know, I'm not that much of a hugger, but I'm pretty sure I'd hug all of y'all, okay? I can't hug you right now because pray for my wife. She's having surgery on February 16th, so I got to be real careful about hugging y'all, all right? Pray for her. Now, after that's over and after this pandemic's over, we'll have a great big old hug, and it'll be awkward for both of us, but we'll do it anyway. In the meantime, we still have this need to be together. People need people. If you ever meet someone who says, I don't need anybody, the truth is they needed somebody and somebody wasn't there. They did need somebody, and they needed somebody really badly. We need each other. You know, when the Lord made the world, he made all these different things, and at the end of each day, he said, and it was good. He made the fish and the birds, and it was good, and he made the animals, and it was good. He made the sun, moon, and stars, and it was good. The first time he said something was not good was when he said, it is not good for a man to be alone. It's not good for people to be isolated. That's when he made a companion for Adam. He made Eve. We have a need for community, and we recognize that as Recreate Church. Our tagline is Recreate Church, a community of life and love. We do life together, we share love together, and that's the design. We need each other. We need each other very badly. This is a tough world to live in, especially right now. We recognize that our faith is not big enough for something like this. We need a community around us. We need to be sharing life with a group of people that we can trust. Good news was, before the pandemic started, we kind of got into that. We were starting some of these small groups and we're getting into discipleship, and good things were happening there. But then COVID hits and disrupts everything. And kind of, to be honest, I was hoping it would be over by now. Did anybody else kind of hope it'd be over by now? Yes. Thank you. But here we are, nearly a year into this thing. And it's not over, and we don't know how much longer it's going to last. But I'm going to say this. This need for us to be together, it can't wait until COVID is over. This need for us to be there to support each other spiritually, it can't wait till the pandemic passes. furthermore, we've got this call from the Lord to be disciples and to make disciples. A disciple is someone who learns from someone else. And we are the disciples of Christ, and we should be the disciples of believers who are a little further down the road spiritually than us, and we can look up to them and learn from them. That's why we need to be together in groups of people we can trust, that you can share your thoughts and feelings with and your needs with. We need that so badly. So how are we going to make that happen in these weird days of pandemic? How can we find a way to be together and to support one another when we can't necessarily share the same space like we would like to? Well, we live in 2021, and the good news in the midst of all the weird and bad news is the technology exists for us to be in groups together even when we're not in the same space. Video conferencing technology. If you have a smartphone or a laptop or have access to one, you can video conference with people and have a group. Now, would it be nicer to be together face-to-face? Sure. But man, right now, we need this so very badly. These tough days we're living in show us the need for us to have one another to lean on. You see, a church is not just a group of people who happen to show up at the same time, at the same place, with the same general purpose. You know, you can get that. Fans at a ball game, they show up at the same time as, or back when we could have ball games where people came to them. Remember those days? Way back in the days when people could go to football games. Anyway, I got football on my mind. The Super Bowl's coming up soon. But football fans could have that. They show up at the same time in the same place with the same general purpose, and this, you know, they want to see their team win and all that. A church is more than a group of people who gathers at the same time. We are a community. A community of life and love. And from before the beginning of Recreate Church, part of the plan was to have life and love groups, L&L groups, small groups. And if you grew up in and around church, you're probably familiar with the concept of adult Sunday school, okay? It's like that. Think of like the best, healthiest version of adult Sunday school, and you're kind of getting there, except we don't have a lot of Sunday school rooms, so we want to meet in homes, and we've done that some. COVID's kind of messed that up, but we need to get something else started using the technology at our disposal. So here is what I'm praying for. Here's what I'm asking for. Here's what I'm believing God for, that there are people listening to my voice right now, live in this parking lot or through the podcast or through the YouTube video, who are called to be a part of this new thing we want to begin. I'm not begging you to be a part of this. I'm saying some of you are called to be a part of this. And the question is, are you one of the ones that God's going to lift up to help get this thing started? We need some brave people. We need some pioneers. We need some explorers who are willing to be a part of a community of life and love, to be a part of beginning some groups. We need some people for the pilot group, that first group of people who want to learn and grow together, who are willing to bear with the technology as we figure out how to make this work. Because if you've ever done anything with video conferencing, you know there's some hitches in the process, and it's going to take us just a little while to figure out. But some of you, I believe, to the depths of my heart, are called to be a part of this first pilot group, who are willing to be that first virtual group that meets through online media, through, you know, through the camera on your smartphone or on your laptop, and could be a part of a small group. And the good news is, you don't even have to change out of your pajamas, okay? As long as the part of you that shows on the camera is presentable, you don't have to go anywhere, you don't have to clean up, you don't even have to put deodorant on, because nobody can smell you through the internet. It's the power of technology. It's amazing. And for those of people who listen to our podcast around the world or watch our YouTube around the world, you can be a part of this too. It's not limited to people in our geographic area. So I want to hear from some people who feel the Lord speaking to their hearts and say, I want to be a part of that first group to make this work, that pilot group, that group of pioneers. You don't necessarily need to know much about the technology. You just kind of have to have a willingness to bear with it. If you do know something, that would help. But if you're willing to be a part of it, I want to hear from you. Some of you who are local, you have my contact information. Those of you who are listening in from somewhere else, you can email us at recreate.church.hillsville recreatechurch@gmail.com. Or you can, if you're international, email us at recreate.worldwide@gmail.com. I want to hear from you guys. This needs to happen. We need each other. Let's make these virtual groups happen. Now, what I want to see happen is this first pilot group figures it out, finds out how it's going to work, and then everybody's given the opportunity. So I want to hear from you guys today, okay? You can buzz my phone while I'm preaching. It won't hurt me if you're like saying, hey, yep, I know it. The Lord's speaking to my heart right now. I'm meant to be a part of this. I want to be part of this happening. Beep, beep, beep. All right, I got some beeps over here already. I'm hearing it. David and Lucy are super excited about it. I'm thankful for them. They're a big part of getting our discipleship going. Now, okay, I've done all that. Let's see if I got any enthusiasm left for preaching, because I just poured out some of my heart. I think I do, because I get to talk about some exciting stuff today. We have begun a series after the holidays at the beginning of the new year about the holidays that Jesus and his disciples would have celebrated. The scriptures tell us there were seven major spiritual holidays that the Lord himself created for his people. Years before Jesus came, this was in the days of Moses, but they were still being practiced, and some of them are still being practiced to this day in some form or another. So at the first of the year, first Sunday of the year, I talked to you about the Feast of Trumpets, which was kind of their New Year celebration. That was, it was a pretty serious time. They were reflecting on the year that had passed, praying that the Lord would help them to make the new year better, start out on the right foot. We're kind of familiar with that concept. And then after that, we talked about the Day of Atonement, which is arguably the most serious of all of those holy days. It was the only day of the year that the high priest could go into the most holy place in the temple and make the offering for atonement. Now, those first two holidays, very important, very powerful, but probably a little stressful too, especially the Day of Atonement. Can you imagine yourself waiting outside the temple, hoping that the high priest comes out and says, okay, hey, we're cool with God for another year? Because what happens if he comes out and says, turns out we're not going to be okay in the next year. The Lord did not accept our atonement. We're in trouble. That would be kind of unnerving. Or I don't know that it's true, but some of the old legends say they would tie a rope to the ankle of the high priest in case he messed it up and he died in there in front of the Ark of the Covenant and they had to drag him out. I don't know if that's actually true. I don't think you'll find that in the scriptures, but basically they said that, hey, I've watched Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. I know what can happen to you if you mess around with the Ark of the Covenant. I don't know if that actually happened. Yeah, you just got to be careful, okay? You just got to be careful with that. But now we have gotten to a holiday that is a lot more fun. All of them have spiritual significance. All of them have value. But we have gotten to the holiday on this calendar that is the funnest holiday, the funnest one of all. It's funnest a word. It's a word now. We're going to make it a word starting today. It is the funnest holiday. Well, what makes it so fun, you ask? I will tell you. No, I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to ask you a question. When you were young, did you ever make a fort out of blankets inside your house? Or couch cushions, or pillows, or if you're a country kid like me, did you ever go out in the woods and make a fort or a shelter out of sticks? Man, I loved that so much. Honestly, I still love that. Back in the summer, I was out with my kids in the edge of the woods making a stick fort, and Alexis tried to get me out yesterday and make a stick fort, and I had to explain to her that it is cold outside. She is 13. She has no concept of it being cold outside. I am 40. I have an elevated appreciation for the cold these days. But it's so much fun. Whether it's a stick fort in the woods or it's a blanket fort or couch cushions or whatever you could get away with in the house, usually the mamas are like, you know you're going to clean that up, right? Fine, you can make your blanket fort, but you're going to clean that up, right? And the kids about halfway clean it up. You know, my kids, the place where I work, we get some big boxes in, and we got some huge boxes in last year, like bigger than a refrigerator box. I brought those home. My wife was incredibly patient with those being in our living room, and our kids pretty much lived their lives inside these giant cardboard boxes for like 3 days, and then the boxes had to go, but it was sure fun while it lasted. That's fun. I think every kid did that. And if your childhood did not include making some sort of weird temporary shelter out of sticks or blankets or couch cushions, or at least crawling up under your grandma's dining room table and pretending it's a fort, man, I'm sorry you missed out. And when the pandemic's over, I'll take you out and I will teach you how to build a shelter out of sticks in the woods if that's what you want to do. I'll make sure that you can get that little bit of your childhood that you missed. So that is so much fun. And you might not believe me, but what would you say if I told you that in the days of Jesus, there was a legitimate national religious holiday that prominently featured the building of forts out of sticks that you lived in? That sounds like I'm making it up, doesn't it? Totally sounds like I'm making it up, but it is 100% true. It was called the Feast of Tabernacles, and it is the next Old Testament holiday on our list. And yes, it's real. Yes, it's in the Bible. It's in Leviticus 23 if you want to check and make sure I'm not just pulling your leg. And you know, if you've been around me long enough, it's probably worth your time to check out whether I'm kidding you or not. But I'm 100% serious. There was this holiday called the Feast of Tabernacles that a main part of the holiday, the event for which it was named, was the people were called to build shelters out of tree branches and vegetation and live in them for a week. That is so wild. That's not the only thing that they did during this Feast of Tabernacles. It was one of the three pilgrim feasts, okay? We think of the pilgrims as being the people with belt buckles on their hats and shoes, but a pilgrim is a broader term. It's someone who travels for a religious purpose, and the three pilgrim feasts, all the people in Israel who were able, especially the adult males and heads of household, were supposed to go to Jerusalem, make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. So the city would fill up with travelers and visitors and people from all over the country. The reason that they were able to travel was that the agricultural season would have ended just before that. The harvest was over, so it was sort of that chill time where, you know, I think most every workplace or some workplaces have a time where everything sort of slows down. Like in the kind of work that I do for my day job, we've sort of slowed down and we pick up more in the spring. This was the slow time of the year, so people were free to travel, and they came down to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. Because it came right after the harvest, it was also sometimes called the Feast of the Ingathering, the Feast of the Harvest, you could also say. Okay, you've noticed I keep saying the word feast, and a lot of these Jewish holidays were called a feast, the Feast of the Tabernacles, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And when we hear feast, we think of a lot of food. Think of Granny's house at Thanksgiving. Y'all don't know this about my grandmother, but she makes the best pork chop gravy that has ever been made in the history of the world. You're the best, Granny. You're the best. My grandmother's here today in this worship experience. I'm so thankful for her. World's best pork chop gravy, but you can't have her. She's my granny, okay, and I'm her oldest grandchild. She wasn't even a granny until I came along. I was a part of that. I bet she made good gravy even before then. I think of a feast as going to grandma's house and just eating yourself silly, or going to Golden Corral. You know what? I'm just going to say it. I miss Golden Corral. I miss it, okay? I miss everything except for the extreme regret as I'm driving home from Golden Corral. I told my, oh, the buffet, man. Oh, something magic about a buffet. It just speaks to a deep inward part of me, you know, that part of me that is gluttonous but also frugal because you get a lot of bang for your buck at a buffet. And I told my wife yesterday, I said, man, when this pandemic is over, I want to go to Golden Corral, and I'm just going to stand in line at the steak station. I'm just going to stand there. I'm going to eat my steak. I'm going to get another steak right after that, she said. And my wife is incredibly sensible. She said, you know, buffets were not that good of an idea before the pandemic, because everybody's touching the same tongs and then putting those tongs back down in the thing. And she was a waitress, and she worked a buffet, so she knows all those health code rules. And like, I know you're right, but a good steak might be worth dying for right now. Can't wait till this thing's over. I want to go to Golden Corral. But I do want you to know that although these holidays, these holy days were called feasts, it wasn't just a trip to the buffet. They weren't necessarily about a lot of food. they had meals that were eaten as a part of the celebration. Sometimes specific things were eaten, but most of them weren't necessarily like this big, huge buffet line. The Feast of Tabernacles is kind of an exception. They did a lot more eating then. Remember, it came after the harvest, so this was the time of year when they had the most food, and whatever they had that was perishable, they would have had to be eaten. So this was more of a big old feast. It was the most cheerful and celebratory of the holy days. And how could it not be? Man, there's food everywhere, and it's a big party Jerusalem, and you get to build forts out of sticks. Some of y'all don't think that's fun, but that speaks to the 9-year-old boy that I still am in my heart. Let's go in the woods and let's make a fort. Or if the woods don't sound like a good idea to you, make a fort out of the couch cushions or under the table or something. This holiday is called the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, what is a tabernacle? What is a tabernacle? It's not a word we use today. Not much, anyway. What's a tabernacle? Well, in the most basic sense, a tabernacle is a shelter that is temporary or portable or both. A temporary and or portable shelter. So a stick fort or a blanket fort is a tabernacle. It's temporary, maybe not portable. A tent, like you would go camping in, is both temporary and portable. It is a tabernacle. You know, a pop-up canopy like you would put out up at a cookout, that could be called a tabernacle. It's temporary, it's portable. In the Old Testament, the first central place of worship for God's people was something they called the tabernacle. It had that definite article there, the tabernacle. And if you read in the Old Testament, you'll find the tabernacle was the original place that the Ark of the Covenant was kept. That was a place that came before the temple. The tabernacle was basically a very fancy tent or pavilion that they would set up, and they would have their worship. And when the people of Israel were in the time of the wilderness wanderings, whenever the camp would move, they would take down this fancy pavilion, the tabernacle, and they would go and they would set it up, and the people would place their camps around it. It was a very specific arrangement. It was literally the central focus of community life during that time. And later on, when the temple was built in Jerusalem, it was built after the same basic pattern and floor plan as the tabernacle that came before. It's just the tabernacle was temporary and portable, and the temple was more permanent. Now, once in a while, you'll hear of a church building being referred to as a tabernacle. If you drive far enough in the south, you'll see some place called Tabernacle Baptist Church or something like that. I think down in Mount Airy, not too far from us, there's Tabernacle Church, and they have a gym, and I've played basketball there. That was a fun place to be, except for the first time I showed up and played basketball, the guy who was running the thing said, "Hey, you a preacher?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You do devotion tonight." I said, "Okay. I don't even have a Bible with me." So he gave me, "Hey, the Lord came through right there." That was a lot of fun. So sometimes a church building is called a tabernacle, although strictly speaking, a tabernacle is usually something that is temporary or portable, or both. I do know of one church in our area that is meeting in and around a tabernacle currently. Do you know what church right now is meeting in or around a tabernacle? It's us. We're the ones. This is like a tabernacle, okay? Those of you who are live or on the video can see this. Those who are listening through the podcast, I'll just describe it to you. It's sort of this half pipe igloo kind of shaped garage in a box, I think is the brand name of it, is Garage in a Box. It's this canvas shelter here. It's temporary, put up by some of our awesome guys. It took a long time and they anchored it down. But it is a portable, well, at least in theory, it's portable, and it's temporary. So we're meeting in a tabernacle. Now, that's pretty cool. I got to admit, I didn't think I'd get to preach in a tabernacle. I thought maybe I had missed my opportunity to preach in a tabernacle, but I think this garage structure counts as a tabernacle. It is a temporary portable place of worship. So hey, we're under the tabernacle. It kind of makes me think of a bygone era where people in these mountains would have spiritual meetings in something called a brush arbor. You ever heard of this? The brush arbor meetings, it started in the late 1700s and was pretty common up until about the middle of the 20th century, and it still happens some today. Maybe you've heard of or been to a brush arbor meeting. What is a brush arbor meeting? I'll tell you what it was. When ministers and missionaries would go into communities in these mountains and in rural areas, they would start preaching, and the local people would build a shelter out of brushwood and tree limbs and plant material and whatever they could. It was kind of like imagine a picnic shelter you would see today, but it was a temporary structure made out of poles and sticks and things, and it was called a brush arbor. And they might have a revival meeting for like a week under this brush arbor, and the people would kind of gather under it to get out of the sun or the wind or the rain or whatever was going on. And after the revival meeting was over, you know, that brush arbor might stay there. Or if it was intact the next year when the preacher came around, he might preach in the same brush arbor. Hey, we're getting to do a little bit of that, and we got something better than sticks, thanks to these guys who put it up. I so appreciate that. You'll still hear about brush arbor meetings from time to time. Now, I want to make sure that you understand you're a part of this too. Because of COVID and the precautions that we're having to take, we have traveled back to the days of the tabernacle. I've already told you that I think this structure here that I'm in front of could be considered a tabernacle. But if a tabernacle is a temporary, portable place of worship, don't you understand that that car you're sitting in right now is kind of a tabernacle? You're in the tabernacle right now. I hope it's a tabernacle that you obeyed the laws of the highway in as you came here, and will do so on your way home. But it's kind of a tabernacle. That is cool to me. Now, I look forward to the day when we're able to be inside and it's really comfortable. You know, we've had so many new people who have been showing up after we've had these outdoor services. Some of y'all have not got to enjoy the comfortable space that we have inside. It's not maybe ready for visitors right now, but it's a really nice home-like, kind of like big living room with armchairs and all. It's a really nice place to be. So since we're in our little tabernacles here, you know, I'm out here under this tent and you guys are in your car, and Billy, you're close enough to me. I'm going to count you as being in the tabernacle with me. We have Billy Honeycutt out here with me, and he's one of the guys who helped put this thing up. We're going to continue to talk about the tabernacle. The tabernacles used in the Feast of Tabernacles weren't as nice as that, you know, Ford or Chevy or Subaru tabernacle or Dodge that you're in right now. You know, they probably weren't as nice as that. The text describes them as being just tree branches and leaves. So I'm going to read to you from Leviticus 23, verses 40 through 43. Now, some of you might have thought I'm pulling your leg, so I'm going to read this right out of the scriptures. Yes, they really did build stick forts and live in them. So it reads like this. On the first day, that's the first day of this week of the Feast of Tabernacles, gather branches from magnificent trees, palm fronds, boughs from leafy trees, and willows that grow by the streams. Then celebrate with joy before the Lord your God for 7 days. You must observe this festival to the Lord for 7 days each year. This is a permanent law for you, and it must be observed in the appointed month from generation to generation. For 7 days you must live outside in little shelters. Now, depending on your translation, that might say tabernacles, it might say booths, might say shelters. Kind of the old school KJV I grew up with, it would be tabernacles. All native-born Israelites must live in shelters, that is to say, tabernacles or booths. This will remind each new generation of Israelites that I made their ancestors live in shelters when I rescued them from the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So during the Feast of Tabernacles, all these religious pilgrims from around the nation would come to Jerusalem, and they would set up these little stick shelters. The local people who lived there would generally go up on the flat roofs of their houses. That was kind of the porch in those days, in that time. They go up to the flat roof and they would make that shelter out of sticks. And the people who came from outside of the area would, if they had a friend living in the city, maybe they would make their little shelter on top of the friend's house. Otherwise, they might be out in the public spaces and the streets and the squares building these little shelters of sticks. Man, can you imagine like a bird's eye view of that from one of those drone things looking down on Jerusalem? It probably looked like a beaver dam exploded because there are little piles of sticks just everywhere, thousands and thousands of these stick shelters. I wonder what they looked like. Now, if you've ever watched any of those survival shows, I'm a fan of those, where people build shelters out of sticks and plant material. You probably noticed that some of them build really impressive, cool structures, and others, well, you know why they didn't win the survival show, because they couldn't build a very good shelter. I bet some of these shelters were fancy, and some of them were kind of not so fancy. In Israel now, the people who still observe the Feast of Tabernacles, a lot of them have built something like a pergola, okay? And they put plant material on top and kind of put curtains around the sides because, according to rabbinic tradition, only the top had to be out of plant material. You know, the scriptures say make the whole thing out of plant material. But anyway, that's what they're doing now. So some of these people were probably pretty comfortable and some maybe not. It's kind of like today how we use the word camping in our culture. Camping, what a concept. We invent houses, but we want to live outside. Camping. But we use the same word camping to describe camping with nothing but a sleeping bag under a overhanging rock. And we use the word camping to refer to camping in a $200,000 RV with electricity and AC and Wi-Fi. I've never been inside a $200,000 camper or a $1,000 camper, for that matter. Maybe I have. Probably have a $1,000 one. But it's still called camping. I'm not sure how that works. It's probably nicer than a lot of homes. But, yeah, I think it would be easier to be a happy camper inside an RV, maybe, than sleeping on the grounds. You know, I built stick shelters from the time I was a little kid, and I'd still build some right now. And honestly, the idea of building a stick shelter and living in it, there's some weird Survivor Man fantasy thing that I have going on that sounds like something cool to do. Like, hey, let's go out in the woods and let's build a lean-to. We'll live there a week and we'll catch squirrels and eat roots and things. Man, that sounds so weird, and there's probably something wrong with me. But that sounds cool to me, except for one part. The idea of living in a stick shelter sounds awesome, except for the sleeping in it part. Have you ever slept on the ground outside? If you do, it will remind you real quick why humans invented houses and beds. Sleeping on the ground outside does not spark joy. It can go. So it sounds good to me. I don't know if that would be fun. All this whole Feast of the Tabernacles thing sounds fun, except for the sleeping outside on the ground. The scriptures here, it's sort of hard to interpret it for sure, but some interpreters think that people didn't necessarily sleep outdoors in these things, that they built them and they spent the day, but they might have gone indoors to sleep. If you were a local person and you know, if you're living in this tabernacle on top of your roof and it gets cold at night, you're like, man, I think I'm just going to go in the house for the night, you know. Like that time when I was about 7 years old that I swore I was going to camp outside, and about 1 o'clock in the morning, I decided to camp inside instead. You know, that's the sort of thing we do. The people who came from Jerusalem who didn't have another place to stay might have really slept there. So I hope they had a comfortable mat or something to sleep about. Personally, the idea makes my back hurt right now. I'm just talking about it. My back's already hurting. I don't want any of that. That's okay. It's fun to talk about. Interesting, right? The Feast of Tabernacles. What an interesting, unusual thing. You can be around a church your whole life and not realize this is in the Bible. I mean, what are most people going to think if some preacher stands up and says, hey, did you know they made stick forts in the Bible? That's true. But it really is true. It sounds like something somebody would make up. I mean, these are the sorts of things that you miss if you don't read the Bible for yourself. Man, the Bible is full of so much good stuff. If you're not reading this thing for yourself and you're just waiting for some preacher to tell you what's in it, man, you are missing out on so very much interesting information. If I took a poll of everybody here and say, have you ever heard a Sunday morning sermon on the Priest of on the Feast of Tabernacles, most of you would probably say, I don't think so. You know, I've been around church my whole life, most of it, and I don't think I've heard a Sunday morning sermon on the Feast of Tabernacles. You miss some stuff. You need to be reading this for yourself. Okay, one of the most life-changing things you can do for yourself and the people around you is to get in the Word of God every day. And there's no excuse for it these days. We can't say, I don't have time, because if you have one of those electronic devices, you know, smartphone or whatever, it'll read the Bible to you as you're driving to work or doing all these things that make you too busy to take time for your Bible. If you want an actual Bible to hold in your hands and you don't have one and you can't afford one, you let me know. I'll make sure you get one ASAP, because if you want to get in the Word, we're going to make sure that can happen. If you read it for yourself, you won't miss this kind of stuff. So here we are. What an interesting concept. Feast of Tabernacles. We got a basic understanding that it's in part about building stick shelters and living in them for a week. So what do you think? Okay, we have a bunch of reasonable people here this morning. Let's just take a poll. I want to hear from you. If you think building a shelter out of sticks and living in it for a week, I'm not saying in the wintertime, okay, in the warmer weather, if you think it sounds like a fun idea to build shelter out of sticks and live in it for a week, let's hear from them. Let's hear a little beep on your horn. Okay, I got to say, that's more than I thought. Okay, now, if you think that it sounds fun, but it also sounds crazy, and ain't no way you going to sleep outside in a shelter made of sticks, I want to hear you hear a little beep beep. Okay. You know, that was a close. I don't know which one got it. I don't know if there was more people who thought it was cool or more people who thought it was crazy, but maybe what the question we should ask is, why would the Lord ask this? I mean, this wasn't something that Moses made up to prank people. It wasn't like he was writing this out and he got to this part in Leviticus and he's like, you know what would be really funny? if I made up a holiday where they had to go out of their houses and sleep in stick shelters, that'd be hilarious. No, that's not what happened. Boy, that would be funny, though. That sounds like something I would pull with my kids, but that's not what was going on. The Lord prescribed this. He said, here's what you need to do. So what's the point? Why would the Lord ask them to do this? And it's weird. I'm going to tell you. Okay, you ready for this? This is where we're going, all right? If you're starting to write stuff down, this is a thing you need to write down. The Feast of Tabernacles reminds us of the difference between what is for now and what is forever. The difference between what is for now and what is forever. The Lord in the Scriptures told them to do this in commemoration of how the people of Israel lived in temporary shelters when they first came out of slavery in Egypt. You need to read that. It's in the book of Exodus. This whole nation, maybe millions of people, came out and they lived in the wilderness for a period of time. And at least until they could figure out tents or something a little better, they seemed to have lived in these temporary shelters. And the Lord was, this Feast of Tabernacles was a reminder of that period of their national history where everyone lived in temporary shelters. But these shelters in the wilderness, that the wilderness is not ultimately what the Lord wanted. Okay, the wilderness was a for now arrangement. He wanted to take them to the promised land. That was the forever arrangement. The wilderness was for now. The promised land was forever. We need to remember that in our own lives, because we can look around at our situation and find a lot to be frustrated with, okay? We can find things that feel uncomfortable. Hopefully not as physically uncomfortable as sleeping on the ground in a shelter made of sticks, but if you're dealing with long-term health issues, you might say, yeah, I would trade sleeping on the ground in a shelter made of sticks for this physical ailment that I'm going through. But there are a lot of things in our lives that might just seem wrong, that seem out of place. You know, we live in a world where there will be all sorts of frustrations and craziness and loss and suffering, addictions and abuse and stuff from the past that just keeps coming back to haunt the present and wreck the future. We live in a world where it's so easy to be eaten up with anxiety and unforgiveness and all sorts of things like that, things that feel like they'll never change. And with this pandemic, there's so much isolation and disconnection, and it takes a toll on us physically. Do you realize that they have proven that people who don't have close relationships, their life is significantly shorter than people who have close and healthy relationships? People need people. We need connections with people. That makes it so much more important for us as a church to get these groups started, even if virtually, for now. We need to remember that a lot of what we're dealing with is for now, not forever. We often live at the mercy of things that are for now, and we forget that God is dealing with forever. Right now, we are living in the midst of a weird part of history that just keeps going, okay? Have you ever had someone who's, you know, pulling a prank and like the joke is over, but they're still laughing about it? Anybody else feel like that right now? Okay. 2020, you had your joke. It's 2021 now. Okay. World, you can stop being weird now. It was funny, sort of, not really, but it's over and it's time to move on. But it seems like it just doesn't stop. And yet we find ways. So we got to find ways to make it work. You know, we put up our tabernacle of praise out here at the corner of 52 and 58, 105 Eastern Drive, beside Pizza Hut. We might be the only church that's meeting outdoors near Pizza Hut in America this morning. I don't know. It's a big old country. But we have that going for us. We find ways to make it work. It gets wearisome, but it's temporary. It's for now. It's not forever. So we got to hang in there. That's what we need to encourage each other about. It's for now, not forever. I don't know what challenges the future holds, but I know who holds the future. We're going through it for now, but not forever. The day's going to come when we move out of the wilderness and into the promised land, so to speak. You know, there will be a day coming when we leave temporary arrangements behind and go into something more permanent. Man, we put so much work into this building. Some of y'all don't know the history of this building. It was a corner restaurant for years and years. Some of y'all might have got a cheeseburger here at some point. I can kind of barely remember it when I was a kid. Then later, it became an equipment rental place. You could no longer get a cheeseburger here. You could get a chainsaw. Some of you might have rented a chainsaw here. I think I rented a ditch witch here one time. You know what those things are? It looks like a chainsaw, but it's for dirt. Crazy. It's like the most redneck invention ever made. It's a dirt chainsaw. Very cool. No longer can you get a cheeseburger here, although we may have a cookout someday. I hope we don't need a chainsaw for anything we're doing up here, but you can get Christ here. And someday we're going to be back inside this awesome building. Some of y'all haven't got to worship with us in there. Man, we got these big comfortable armchairs. You can get yourself a cup of coffee and a biscuit from Hardee's, and you can settle down in your chair and you can be relaxed and you can worship the Lord and you can enjoy each other's fellowship. It's going to happen. Just a matter of time. For now, we're here. We won't be out here forever. For now. Hey, so I can't wait. When we get to go back inside, maybe we'll have those cheeseburgers. Man, I want to have such a party. I'm going to have a party. All right, I want y'all to party with me. When we're able to get inside and kind of go back to something like normal, we are going to have one party. We'll get a bouncy house out here. We'll get one of the big ones that grown-ups can get in, and we'll do something. I don't know. So I hear somebody saying, yes, let's do that. Bouncy house. Hey, y'all don't know. Some of y'all have been around long enough to know we put up some bouncy houses before. We ain't above putting up a bouncy house. And the preacher will get in the bouncy house too. And we'll knock the kids right out of there. And the grown-ups will get in there. We'll gently knock the kids out of there. Gently. Without injuring them. We'll remove them gently. Anyway, we're going to have a good old time. But for now, we're here. We're outside. That doesn't mean we can't have fun with it. Okay? We can have a lot of fun with this. Yeah, it's cold. I know. I'm familiar with the cold, okay? I'm the crazy street preacher out here in the cold, okay? So thankful for gloves today and a good warm coat. We're going to have a fun time. The Feast of Tabernacles was a fun holiday. It was the most celebratory of all the Old Testament holy days. I never thought I would preach in the winter, through the winter, outside, under a tabernacle, but here I am. And if that's what we need to do for now to make this work, I'm excited about it. Guess what? Someday I get to tell my future grandchildren, which hopefully come along a long time from now, since my kids are barely teenagers, I get to tell them about how their crazy grandpa Michael preached all winter long outside. That's cool. Guess what? You guys get to tell the story of how, man, during the pandemic, what did you do during the pandemic, grandma, grandpa? Well, yeah, man, we made it work. We did church outside. I just want to say I'm so thankful for you guys who are sticking with us through this. This isn't the easiest time to sort of be engaged in a church, but we are going to make it work. We're making it work. These drive-in services, we've had people show up for this. We got people way over there in Food Line. We got people at Family Dollar. I don't know. Maybe we got some people at Hardee's and Burger King and at the laundromat. I don't know where all the people are, but they're around. There's people listening to this we don't know. There's people on the other side of the planet who catch the podcast. We're making it work. Another part of making it work is these virtual small groups. I want to see that happen. Maybe the Lord is speaking to some of your hearts even now and saying, hey, you're supposed to be part of that group of pioneers that sees how we can make this work. So I want to hear from you today. You know, the local people, you got my number, you call me up or send me a message or something. Those of you around the world, recreate.worldwide@gmail.com, and we'll make it happen. And we might even meet some of these folks who are listening to us, listening into these podcasts and watching the YouTube from other countries. Wouldn't that be cool that you meet whoever's over there in Asia, Russia, listening to us, and France and South America and all over the world? It'd be cool to meet those brothers and sisters. So much of what we treat as permanent is really just temporary. It's for now, including ourselves. The Apostle Paul reminded us that even our bodies are a tabernacle, a temporary shelter, a temporary home. Our bodies are for now, not forever. I want to read one more piece of scripture here out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that when this earthly tent, this tabernacle, is taken down, that is when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. We grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will put on our heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. God himself has prepared us for this, and as a guarantee, he has given us his Holy Spirit. So we are always confident, even though we know that so long as we live in these bodies, we're not at home with the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we're fully confident and would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. That's good stuff. We know that a blanket fort in the house is not forever, because mama's going to make you take that down at some point. We know the stick shelter out in the woods, eventually the wind is going to knock it down, you know, or something's going to happen to it. We even know that a tent, a good high-quality camping tent, is eventually going to wear out and start to be leaky and all of that. And we need to accept that even our mortal bodies, these tabernacles in which we live, they're not forever. They eventually start falling apart. You know, these bodies that we live in, they wear out or they get damaged or get destroyed. Most days, I feel pretty young. But other days, all the football and basketball and softball that I have played starts reminding me that my knees and ankles and other joints aren't quite what they used to be. Can't wait till we can get church league sports going back. Maybe we can manage that this year so I can put a little more wear and tear on this tabernacle while I still can. Going to be a lot of fun, but it's a reminder that this body is not forever. So the day will come when these mortal bodies, these temporary tabernacles in which we live, will be worn out or destroyed. It's an uncomfortable thought. But for the believer, that's not the end. It's moving to a new home, a house in heaven, a glorified eternal body made for us by God himself. Everything about this life is temporary, including us. So you and I had better be ready for what comes after this tabernacle is taken down. We need to understand the difference between what is for now and what is forever. And if you want to be a part of something that's forever, you better have Jesus in your heart and life. I cannot say that loudly enough or profoundly enough, that more than any other thing we want for you as Recreate Church is that you will have a life that is centered around Jesus, that you'll meet Jesus, get to know him, go deeper with him. Again, that's what, how these small groups can help you get to know more about Jesus in this life that he's calling us to live. Because if you got Jesus in your heart and life, then it's not just for now, it's forever. You've got a forever. You see, this word tabernacle can mean one more thing. It can mean to dwell with someone. If you share your house with a family member, then in a sense, you tabernacle with them. You live with them. You shelter with them. We need to, so the day is coming when the Lord will tabernacle with his people. He's promised this. We live in this for now, but we get a glimpse of forever. In Revelation 21, man, this is one of my favorite passages in the whole scriptures. If you've never heard this before, write this down because you're going to go back to it time and again. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4 reads like this. This is after Jesus has come down and straightened it out. It's no longer the for now. It is the forever part of our lives. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, he's the writer of Revelation, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are faithful and true. And to that I say, amen. Praise God. Praise Jesus. We live under the tyranny of the for now. But there is a world that's coming that is forever. And everything we're going through right now, man, all that will have passed away. In a sense, the Feast of Tabernacles reminds us of the temporary nature of this life and the things we're going through right now. It reminds us of the difference between for now and forever. I understand that for now, there's going to be some discouragement. For now, you're going to look at our government and look at our country and look at our culture and say, man, what are they doing? For now, we've got to deal with a lot of stuff. But don't let your for now discourage you about your forever. Tears are for now. Comfort is forever. Sorrow is for now. Joy is forever. Death is for now. Life is forever. Pain is for now. Healing is forever. Earth is for now. Heaven is forever. And let me tell you this. COVID is for now. Christ is forever. It won't always be like this. So we need to be there for each other, encouraging each other that in the for now, we're struggling. But God's got bigger plans than for now. And I just want to lift things up to him in prayer. You pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you that though we live in the midst of a for now that is frustrating and full of struggle and trial, that you've given us the promise of forever. And may we pull together as a church family and be encouraging to one another as we deal with all the struggles of for now. Lord, it might get a lot tougher in some ways. We have been so blessed to live in a country and in a culture that's been very open and accepting of followers of Jesus, but that might change. So I pray that you will bring us together, that we can help each other learn and grow and build our faith so that when tough times come, we don't wilt under the heat or the pressure. When life gets cold, we don't freeze. We come together for warmth and we rely on you. Thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus so we don't have to live at the mercy of for now, because your mercy lasts forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to hear from some of you guys. I'm convinced that some of you are being called by the Lord to be a part of starting our virtual groups. I want to hear from you as soon as you can. God bless you for being a part of this. You know, pray. I pray for you and you pray for me, especially pray for my wife who has surgery coming up on the 16th of February. It's a pretty major one. Pray for her. God bless you guys. I'm going to send you out with a little music. Let everybody know that we do this every Sunday at 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. so long as it is at all safe to get here. And if I can't get here, I'll still record a message. God bless you all. We'll see you next time.